This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life, no. Call his wife in
104.
Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been?
DA 104. All right. How we doing on this Thursday morning, the day the tournament starts? The madness is here. We are a week away from opening day of the baseball season, although we've seen a couple of games out in Japan. We got Aaron Rodgers not going to be a Minnesota Viking. Will he be a New York Giant? The Knicks with a very lackluster, disappointing loss over the San Antonio Spurs. 120 to 105 after the dominance they showed against Miami to follow it up. This was supposed to be a stretch where they were going to win some games. And listen, it still might be. And look, we all know they're still four games up on the three seed. They're going to be the three seed in the playoffs. It's just a matter of Brunson coming back. But we were hoping to see some fight here. Some intensity, the defensive effort put forth in this game. They allowed the Spurs to shoot 45% from three. And here, actually, Justin, you could pop on the air just real quick. Say his name for me. Mama.
Sandro Mamukelishvili.
Mamukelishvili.
The kid from Seton Hall.
Yeah, I know. The kid from Seton Hall. He plays for the Spurs. He hasn't scored. And thank you very much, Justin. He hasn't scored more, because he said it so brilliantly during the update, and I know I'm going to mess it up. Mama, one more time. Mamukelishvili. Mamukelishvili. Mamukelishvili.
It's a mouthful.
It certainly is. Who hasn't scored, I believe, more than 12 points so far this year. Shoots 13 of 14 from the field, 7 of 7 from 3. scores 34 points, and in doing so, becomes the first player in NBA history. The first player in NBA history to score 34 points in less than 20 minutes of play. He was on the court for 19 minutes, and he scored 34 points. The first time that has ever happened in the history of the NBA. That's the defense that the Knicks showed last night. And I know they're the three seed, and I know it's just one game, but I'm sorry. You put forth an effort and allow that to happen. Allow a no-name, I shouldn't say no-name, a very big-name NBA player who doesn't score in this league, put up 34 points in 19 minutes, the first time in NBA history. You go into San Antonio and lose to a team without Wemby, without Fox, without their head coach, and you get embarrassed 120-105 while you're out there. What you should be doing is galvanizing yourself as a team after what happened with Karl Anthony Towns, right, in Golden State. And that fiasco of not of having the audacity of actually shaking Draymond Green's hand. You all know we should have been fake tough guys and walked off the court all angry like. That's how you handle it. You get your ass kicked and then you act like crybabies and walk off the court. You don't actually shake their hands. No, no, no. That's not tough. You got to be tough and stand up for your teammate and just walk off the floor like a bunch of crybabies or the 91 Pistons. Otherwise, you're being bad teammates. So that was that scandal. Obviously, Mikal Bridges and the buzzer beater against Portland, but the idea of coming together as a team without Jalen Brunson and finding a way to become better without him, or to become better, should I say, as a team without him, and so that you're better when he returns. And one, we're not even sure when he's going to return, or what kind of condition he's going to be in return, or how that ankle's going to react, or how quick he's going to be, or how good defensively he's going to be, or how he's going to be able to get his shot off, or his footwork, which is so important to him, and it's what makes him the elite basketball player that he is. Like, this is a time where you're supposed to focus on your defense. Mitchell Robinson was back, actually played well in this game. Karl Anthony Towns put up a decent stat line. But Josh Hart was bad. Mikal Bridges wasn't very good. And this team that's supposed to be showing some life here and take an opportunity to beat up on a bad schedule after going through a tough schedule and ending the season with a tough schedule, trying to improve yourselves to get to the point when Jalen Brunson does come back that you're better for it and that you're more suited to go try and beat up the Cavaliers or try and beat up Boston because you've managed without your superstar and you've learned things about yourself. That's what we're trying to do here as a Knicks squad. You're trying to learn about what kind of team you are without Jalen Brunson. And it's what it's been is inconsistent. And that effort last night, especially defensively, was a joke. And if you're going to talk about this team as a contender, which I don't know how many people honestly believe anymore, which is disappointing because I felt like at all times last year we felt that. Maybe it was pie in the sky, maybe it was fool's gold, and it ended up being so. But they got ravaged by injuries. Even healthy. The way this team has played against Boston and Cleveland and OKC, I don't know if anyone really believes them to be a contender right now. And that's what they're fighting against. And these kind of efforts are what make us feel that way. Because I can promise you that last year's team might have lost this game. They weren't going to lose it in the fashion they did. Last year's team probably, you know, they might not be good enough to blow out Miami, or they not without Jalen Brunson, certainly. This team is more talented, but it's missing that element of edge. And they, even when they have it for glimpses, they don't keep it for long. And right now, that performance, yeah, it's not the end of the world. They can bounce back, win some games. The schedule is very easy moving forward. This was part of that easy schedule, but they're going to lock up a three seed, and they're going to get into the playoffs, hopefully with a healthy Brunson. But I'd like to find out more about this team while he's not here. And so far, I'm finding out they're inconsistent, undependable, and are prone to terrible defensive performances. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
What's going on? I'll tell you what about the Knicks. I can't stand Tibbs. I know he's a study man. How do you play your seven players? How do you wear out OG you know, it's going to fall apart. I think the guy's a maniac. He doesn't play plays. I just don't get it. And then you say that, oh, yeah, they beat, then they lose to Boston. They are not. I love this guy in Cleveland. This guy, Tibbs, I know he broke up with his girlfriend because he says he needs to study. The guy's, I know he loves the Knicks, but he's just an old dinosaur. I just don't like him. He sits there. He's angry all the time. He doesn't play. You got to play 10 plays. I don't understand this guy. He's just running everybody into the ground.
Yeah.
Put a bench guy. You win it by 20 points and Kolek is still on a bench? What is wrong with this guy? I've been coaching basketball my life. Matt, I know you know sports. You're a Knicks fan, Yankees, Giants. He's just too much. Play the team. You're going to kill him. By the time playoffs come, we're going to be dead like we were last time.
Yeah.
And you look at Toppity the other night scores 34 points. You let down these young players that you develop them. If they let go of Deuce, I'm done. I'm done. Because the youth players, he doesn't trust them. Trust what? It's a young game. Your legs are going to be shot.
No, I understand.
Yeah. I don't understand why he has to play the bench, Mac. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, he should play the bench a little bit more. I get it, and at different times. But he's also turned the franchise around. I mean,
the guy. Has
I mean,
done,
let's. I mean, he's done a really good job as the Knicks head coach.
Can
They've
he
won
it all. No way, because he's too archaic.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's caught.
I mean, I don't know if that's burned a fact.
No. What about when he burned out? He burned out. What's his name in Chicago?
Rose.
You know, he was with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Rose.
Yeah. No, this has been an MO that's followed him around for a long time. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that I don't know it's a guarantee that this Knicks team can win with Tibbs. I don't know that. You think this team suddenly
you get,
is you think they
Bridges,
you think they
Bridges?
You think they're, let me ask you a question. You think another coach comes in here with this team and they're good enough to beat Boston?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I think yes.
Simply by playing the bench more.
A young coach?
Playing the bench more is going to make them good enough to beat Boston.
No, that's
because let's be honest, the bench isn't very good. Should they play them more? Fine, but the bench isn't good.
No, but they're not. You're going to bury players. I've been watching basketball a long time because even Walt Frazier says he's going to bury these. OG's arm is going to be down in the river. I don't understand why he doesn't play people.
No,
and he's just so stubborn.
I agree.
He loves the team, but. Look at Toppin. Boom, 34 points.
Toppin's what, 34 points one game? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I know what you're saying, but what about this team?
All right, but,
he doesn't. Look at the guy in Cleveland. That guy's a coach. What a mastermind. He turned that Cleveland team. He could, when he was in the Nets, the guy's archaic. He's past his time. He's, like you said, the guy loves the team. But how much love do you have if you're just so stubborn? You're winning by 25 points? And your team is still out there? What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a couple of occasions. I think we're overblowing it a little bit. I don't know if he's archaic, to your point. Listen, does he need to play the bench? Absolutely. Is that the reason why they're not good enough to beat the Boston Celtics? I don't know. I don't think that's why they've been blown out by the Boston Celtics in the first quarter of games, in the first halves of games. Like, these games haven't even been competitive. And Carl Anthony Towns has disappeared. I don't think that's the coach necessarily. Now, I don't disagree with what you're saying, and he's had a history of it. He's had a history of it, and we know it. And it's been echoed by his own team. Mikal Bridges has said as much. So I'm not saying you're wrong, and that's been the MO. He plays the players too much, and is he the kind of coach that gets you over the top? Can you win a championship with him? He could turn around a team. But can you win a championship with him? He's Buck Showalter. Give him a young, hungry team, and he'll get the best out of him. But is he a star-laden coach? We've seen it before. So, you know, like you just said, you know who else has that moniker? Coach in Cleveland. Kenny Atkinson had that moniker. Gets them to play hard, you know, can transform a young team, gets them to play over their head, play, you know, get more out of less. But can he take a championship-worthy team and get him over the top? They needed to move on to Steve Nash, clearly, to get it done. So I don't know if he's too archaic. He's definitely stubborn. And I'm not at the point where I know the Knicks can win with him. I can understand why you're there. I'm not. But he definitely does need to cool it off a little bit. I totally agree. He needs to play the bench. Bench isn't very good, though. Let's not act like you're going to play the bench and win a bunch of games. Like, you know, maybe someone will surprise you. But the idea that, you know, that's the issue. Another coach comes in here with this team, plays the bench, and suddenly they're ready to beat the Celtics or the Cavs. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that's the reason. And we talk about it, like you said, you've been playing for a long time, or, you know, you mentioned Walt Clyde Frazier. I was looking at Jordan's numbers the other day. Jordan pretty much played the same minutes the Knicks are playing. Jordan was averaging 38 minutes a game. Like, it's not like we've never seen this before. We complain about giving guys too much rest. We complain about load management. They're coming up with ways to penalize it. Like, it's a major issue in the NBA. Guys are playing less minutes than ever, and I understand Tibbs, there's a fine line to it. And Tibbs doesn't want to ride that fine line. He wants to do it his way. I totally agree. He's stubborn. I still don't know if it's the out-and-out cause of the Knicks' inability to win a championship. He's also turned the damn franchise around.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Round.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swing on a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Feel it back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right. It was a fairy tale season for the Mets last year. We're hoping they can duplicate it, and we're hoping St. John's can duplicate it. And we will find out later today, 9:45 tip. The game, I guess right after the Nets, they'll jump into the college basketball. Should catch most of, if not all, of the St. John's game. And I will be on following the post game after the Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament. Not sure exactly when that will be, but as soon as that coverage ends, you will get me all the way until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. So looking forward to that. Some instant Johnny reaction after the game. Give me a call at 888-808-1019. You can do that now as well if you'd like. But we'll do it tomorrow. We'll break it all down. And hopefully it will be the first of many games that the Johnnies win in this tournament. Because it would be a dead. Honestly, I don't want to be on if they lose. If they lose, I don't want to be on. Because that's no fun. That would be a tough loss, a brutal loss. To Omaha, it'd be a brutal loss. But I don't see that in the cards. Hopefully that is something we won't have to see. And I just saw a clip of Mike Francesa finally, and he took some time off. Mike addressed the hair policy and the beard policy of the New York Yankees. And he's not happy about it. He wished, which by the way, today is the big guy's birthday. March 20th, Jerry Rico's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Jerry. We got Mike Francesa's birthday today. Happy birthday, Mike. But he wasn't happy with the hair and beard policy. He liked that the Yankees had standards, and he didn't like the new uniforms. The idea of like wearing different colored hats, which they do occasionally, and you know, they wore that uniform out in L.A. They put the nicknames on the back of the jersey for that weekend. They are yet to have a City Connect jersey, and I have to admit something that I hate to admit, because I despise the franchise and I despise the team. But I think I do like the San Francisco Giants one, which I'm wearing right now, as Craig got me a awesome sweatshirt. And it's the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever owned, without question. It's nice. It's white. I think I kind of have a somewhat darker complexion. Some would even say the rosy cheeks as well. But I feel like the white goes nice with me. I like to wear the white. And it's the most comfortable sweatshirt ever. And I do like the orange-white look of the San Francisco Giants City Connect, but if you haven't had a chance to look at the Astros one, I have to admit, the Astros City Connect jersey is fire. It's probably the nicest one I've seen.
When they can make one that looks that good, you wonder why the rest of them are either eh or horrible.
Or terrible, yeah. A lot of people love the Padres one. I know it's colorful. It looks a little bit much for me. And it doesn't scream San Diego to me for whatever reason. Not that I know. I've been to San Diego. We stopped by on my honeymoon. I've been to the ballpark in San Diego.
And they're getting rid of those ones after the season, I saw.
Oh, they are? Yeah. I don't know. People like those. It's very colorful. A lot of teal. A lot of, like, you know, highlight colors. But
the Cherry Blossoms Nationals ones were solid.
Not bad.
I think they got rid of those, too.
Did they? Are they changing them? Or it's just, like, teams only have to wear them for a couple of years? I know the Yankees haven't had to wear them. Are they rotating them, or are they just, hey, you have a City Connect for a couple of years, and then you move on?
I'm not sure. It just says they're going to reveal new ones. But okay. I think they are going to still be inspired by the Cherry Blossoms.
Okay. Yeah, no, those are good. The Met one doesn't bother me. I don't love it, though. I got to be honest with you. It looks a little bit, and I'm not trying to be of course you hate them, you Yankee fan, chill.
The dark gray with the black pinstripes kind of reminds me of like a Halloween gangster costume a little bit. I'm not the biggest fan, and I don't understand the purple. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. I do like the hat with the bridge across the.
Well, the purple is the easiest part to understand.
What, Grimace?
No, the seven line.
Oh, that's right. The seven line is purple.
The jerseys came out long before Grimace.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know. I don't like them.
I don't know. You know why I was thrilled with the jerseys? Because they're not a disaster. And I was expecting City
disaster.
Connect, I expected the worst.
I will grant you that. Even though I don't like them, I certainly
the
wouldn't call
nice.
Them.
Don't love the jerseys. The hat is nice.
Like the hat. Very. I do like the bridge on the hat. But I'm not a fan of the City Connect jerseys. And I don't know how I would feel about the Yankees getting one. Again, I'm a little different. I don't view the Yankees as this. Maybe I should. I don't know. They've won enough in my lifetime to feel this way. I just think they're different because they win so much. I know they haven't won a World Series in a long time, but haven't had a repeat championship since then. And they're in the playoffs every year. They spend as much money as anyone else this side of the Dodgers and the Mets of recent. Like I view the Yankees as special because they are a dominant baseball team that typically wins 90 games and gets into the postseason, and they've won championships galore in my lifetime.
You wouldn't be bothered to see another jersey? Like, I'm not a Yankees fan. They're so clean. They're so classic.
Yes.
Just leave them. Those are the two.
Correct.
Nobody needs to see anything else.
I don't disagree with that. I was just going to say that, but I'm one who's different where I don't typically get hung up on the shaving of the beard or the, you know, the Yankees are on this higher level of standard, and what happened to this once proud franchise? Oh, we only went to the World Series. I know we lost, but what happened to this once proud franchise? Like, I'm not one for that, but I do admit the pinstripes. Even if, you know, I didn't mind the Nike swoop, I don't get hung up on the advertisement of the insurance company, Star Insurance. Doesn't get me going all that much, but I have to admit, I would not want to go to a Yankee game and see them in anything else but the pinstripes. On the
like
road,
a regular season
I'm
game, they're
things.
Wearing the blue or the spring training. It would feel wrong.
I agree. It would feel wrong. On the road, I'm open to a lot of different things. They could fully change the road grays. I like the road grays. They could do something different with it, and I don't think I'd go nuts. But the pinstripes at Yankee Stadium have to be a must. So
that's almost like you were saying with the New York stuff.
Yeah.
People come to Yankee Stadium, they expect to hear that song.
Right.
You go to a game at Yankee Stadium, you expect to see the Yankees in those pinstripes.
Correct. I agree. If you were coming from out of town and went to go see the Yankees and they were in some dopey, you know, Statue of Liberty on their hat kind of thing, it'd be like, what are you doing? I agree. And that's how I felt about the Frank Sinatra thing, too. Everyone was so happy. Not that I'm unhappy. I could care less what song they play, but I didn't need it gone. And I could just oppose the idea of, yes, they lost the game, but this is what we play at the end of the game. Like, it doesn't, like, at what point do you stop doing those things? Like, if they're losing by 8 runs, should we not do YMCA? Or, right, they sing Sweet Caroline in Boston. Should they not do that? Should the Red Sox stop doing that if they're losing by 5 or more runs at that point in the game? Like, when is it not okay to do traditions? Should the Cubs not have a celebrity sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game if they're down 10 runs? Like, are you not allowed to do anything fun or enjoy it at all? I do agree I hated it as I watch teams celebrate. I don't want to, if a team were to clinch the division, if the Red Sox, let's just use the Red Sox for every one of these examples. If the Red Sox were to clinch the American League East at Yankee Stadium, I would not want that song played while they celebrate on the field and put on hats and shirts and, you know, maybe pour champagne all over each other. That I wouldn't want. I don't want to hear the music while they celebrate. If the Yankees lost the playoff series at home and that team celebrated on the field, I wouldn't want the song played. And as we saw with the Dodgers, I certainly wouldn't want the song played after losing the World Series. So just for that reason alone, I like it. I'm in favor of it because I don't want that scenario ever. But ultimately, even against the Red Sox, a game in July, I really don't care if Frank Sinatra plays after it. I don't care if we play New York, New York as I'm walking out. It's part of just, to me, it's part of what it is. You go there, they sing YMCA, they play Frank Sinatra. It's just, I never felt like, oh my God, why are we celebrating we just lost? I never viewed the song as a celebration. I know we sing along to it. We enjoy it. It's better when they win, but so is everything. Waiting in the line at the bathroom after the game ends is better when they win. Like, everything is better when they win. Waiting in traffic to get the hell out of there is better when they win. But it's all part of the tradition. So when I go to the ballpark, and if I were to take someone from out of town or out of country or whatever and come here, let's go see Yankee Stadium, part of it is, listen, you're going to hear New York, New York at the end of the game. Hopefully it's after a win. If not, it's not. I never understood the deep-seated passion to eliminate that song from being at the end of the game. I know Keith feels very strongly about this. I believe even, I haven't heard him as much, but Fleegs, you say that JJ is very strong about this too, right? JJ was a big supporter of getting rid of the song at the end?
For a year, probably as long as I've known him.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot, and I'm not saying he's wrong necessarily. I'm just saying I don't know. I don't understand why you would feel that passionate about it. That's all. But they're right, ultimately, and I'm glad it's happening because I don't want the celebration. I don't want another team celebrating a championship, whether it be division, ALDS, ALCS, wild card, or World Series. I wouldn't want to see that celebration on the field while the Yankees music plays. But other than that, I don't know why we get so hung up. You tell me opening day. We're all there for opening day. The excitement of opening day. The season's back. We're back at the stadium. It's a beautiful, sunny Thursday afternoon. It's a great day. We're all happy to be back. We're back in the building. The season's here. Everything's great. The Yankees lose 3-2 to the Milwaukee Brewers, and they would ruin it by playing Frank Sinatra? That would ruin the experience. Why are we playing this song as we walk out? Why? Because it's opening day, and we're at Yankee Stadium, and Frank plays. So that's why I do like the idea of at least keeping it Frank. Play That's Life. That's fine.
I'll tell you, the joy I had walking out of a playoff game, hearing it, and when the Yankees lost.
Yeah, but is that because you know you're such good friends with JJ and his opinion on it? Or do you honestly, like...
No, I felt bad for him. It was knowing how much it meant to, like, other Yankee fans, right. Like, and that's their song. It's like, yeah, you're enjoying it right now.
Yeah, but I guess. I don't know.
But I was walking out with JJ, and he was one of the people who loudly said, can we not play Frank right now?
I guess. Everything would bother me.
I just started laughing harder.
I don't even hear the music. Like, I'm walking out. I'm just pissed off they lost. I don't even think about it. Let's get back to the calls. Mike in Cortland. What's up, Mike?
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Very good, sir. Good listening to you. Let me throw something out from left field.
Sure.
Regarding the Knicks. I don't know if anything was discussed. I just got in the car about 20 minutes ago. Last year, the team was exciting. Obviously, we didn't have injuries down the stretch. Who knows what would have happened? But mm-hmm. The team was exciting. We didn't get blown out like they're getting this year to good teams. You know, it'll be interesting. I know on paper, you know, sometimes the proverbial on paper, they had a trade. That was a good trade at the time. We said, yeah, we got to get Towns. You get rid of Randall and DiVincenzo. Fine. I mean, who wouldn't do that?
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? A year later, you know, I personally think that we'd be better off if you plugged in DiVincenzo, and I'm sorry, Hartenstein and DiVincenzo on this team, and you didn't have Towns. I think we would be a lot better. Hartenstein gave the team a lot of second chances. The guy was a monster, and understand. I mean, nobody knew what he was going to be. He had one great year with the Knicks the last year, the half of the year. But he's turning out to be a star.
The only thing is, I don't know if you're right or wrong on that. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But there was. It's not like that was the choice. They couldn't keep Hartenstein. He was.
Oh, I know. I know that. Yeah. Obviously. But I'm just saying. Look, Towns on paper is a monster. I mean, the stats okay.
Yeah.
But some guys just don't fit and do things with certain teams and. Hartenstein, if knowing what we know now about him, and this is what's missing on this team. There is no, it's missing. They should be better, but they're not.
Well, I mean, they are the three seed. I mean, there's only two teams better in the entire Eastern Conference. It's not like they've been.
Are they going to win?
Did you think they? Would you confident they were going to win last year?
No, we couldn't win.
Even if they were healthy, say with Hartenstein, like I don't know if they were going to win. Even with Randall, I don't know if they were going to beat the Boston Celtics. I don't know. We never really got to see it with Randall for very long, so I don't know. But, like, they did have the best first half in, like, the since the mid-90s. Like, they've had success, and he was the starter in the All-Star game. He's had a good year. Like, you question him in the big moment, yeah. And the one thing, I got to definitely listen to the audio here, but I just saw CP the Franchise, who's a friend of the fan, has, you know, Knicks TV does a great job, has a podcast, but you know, pre and post games and stuff. I got to listen to the sound, but he's alluding to the idea of the schedule, which I really don't want to hear. I got to be totally honest with you. I know Tibbs plays, and this is, I guess it goes to the Tibbs and the minutes and everything, what they're doing without Jalen Brunson. I know they were on the West Coast. They came home from one game against Miami, and then they flew right back out to the to Texas and San Antonio. I get it. It's not the easiest of schedules. Long road trip out west, back for one game, back to Texas. It's not ideal. It's the NBA. It's the NBA. Yeah, multiple days in between. Get up for the game. I really don't want to hear the excuse of the travel was tough. I really don't want to hear it. I'm not saying it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that that schedule was fair or unfair. I understand that it can be tough. They're humans. Tibbs does play them a lot. They're dealing without Brunson. But they had a laugher against Miami. The bench played a ton of minutes against Miami. Yes, they had to fly out to San Antonio after flying back. It's a lot of flying over the course of 2 days. The schedule doesn't make any sense. I don't want to hear it as an excuse. I really don't. I know they're human. It doesn't matter. This is the NBA. You've got to find a way to get up. You're down 28 points in the first half. Oh, don't blame it on the schedule. I thought it was weird to come back for one game, too. I still don't want to. I don't want to hear the complaints about the schedule. I'm not going to go through every NBA team. I'm sure every NBA team had something similar at some point. This is the NBA. You gotta play the games, man. And you can't fall behind 30 points to a San Antonio Spurs team that doesn't have their coach, doesn't have Wemby, doesn't have Fox. You can't lose that game in the manner in which you lost it. I don't care what the schedule was. I don't care how much flying you did. I don't care how unfair it all is. I don't care. And then to speak to, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, look, I've always thought this team was going to be measured up against last year's team. We were going to do this all year. It was the most easy thing to predict because we never got to see that team to come to fruition. We never saw what could happen. Randall never came back from the injury. Then they were decimated by other injuries as they went down the stretch of the playoffs. And we never got to actually see if that team in December, with Randall, with OG Anunoby, with Brunson, if that team with Hartenstein, the big ragu, like, were they going to be able to win? We don't know. And because that two factors, we fell in love with that team was tough, that team was gritty, and that team never finished the season. We never got to see it come to fruition. We never saw them take it down the line. If they would have taken it down the line and lost to Boston, the comparisons wouldn't have been so just every night. Oh, this team. If you were to give me last year's team, this year's team doesn't have this, and last year's team had that, and blah, 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 blah. But this team's just, I got to admit, this year's team's more talented. But like, we were going to constantly compare last year and this year because the nature of how that the series against Philadelphia, how he fell in love with that team, and how it never actually had a chance to find out whether it was good enough. And so here we are comparing them on a nightly basis because this team is lacking what that team had. They're lacking a little bit of toughness. They're lacking that attitude. Now, I think the idea that we found that out because they were willing to shake hands with Draymond Green, I find that to be a bit silly when it's the NBA and in today's sports, it's different, man. You get your guts ripped out, you go on the field and you want to swap jerseys. That's today's professional athlete. It's a different thing. It's different than how fans feel. It's different than former players felt. It's just different. And in today's day and age, they're going to do it. And to be totally honest with you, I would have felt like it was weak, man. I understand he said something and it was personal. It wasn't necessarily about basketball, but, you know, he said something stupid that the second it came out of his mouth, the story was, wow, look how stupid this was. It wasn't, hey, was Carl Anthony Towns ducking Jimmy Butler? Like, that came out within a couple of hours. It came out, he was at a funeral. And the minute it went out of Draymond Green's mouth, everybody said, what an idiot. That was the story. What a moron. Like, Anthony Towns was never under fire. Nobody asked him what he was doing. Nobody actually asked him if he was ducking Jimmy Butler. Like, there was never any, like, it was just nonsense from someone who, you know, spits out nonsense constantly. Or at least that's the perception of him. So I never really thought it was that big of a dig where Carl Anthony, I mean, I'm sure he was upset at some level, and clearly he played the game with a physical nature that he sometimes does not. But ultimately, they lost. Draymond Green was the one who iced them with the layup. And to me, it's fake tough guy if you're going to storm off the field court. It's fake tough guy. You got your ass kicked. You want to beat him and then walk off? Beat him and walk off. There you go. Don't lose to him. And then, like, I just felt like that would have been weak. So whatever the case may be, I think they've recovered from that. But that shouldn't be where we test their toughness. Their toughness is when you have to fly from the West Coast home for a game. You blow out the Miami Heat, and then you have to fly to San Antonio. What kind of toughness do you have? That's where we establish toughness. Not with who they or who they don't shake hands with after the game. Can you fly from the West Coast to New York, then fly out to Texas, and go out there and still put forth an effort? That's tough. That's where we decide what kind of team this Knick team is. Not who's shaking hands, not who's having their teammates back, not any of that. It's can you show up on a night-after-night basis? And last night they didn't show up. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. Quick break, one more segment as we take you to 2 o'clock. EJ Stewart filling in for me as I'm filling in for Keith, who is down at spring training. I heard him on the broadcast. Must be nice. I wish I was at spring. I got to go next year. I don't know if they invite me to the broadcast or not, but I would like to go down to spring training and see some of these games. He took a beautiful picture of his son with the sunset. I need a vacation. I'm going away in a month. I need some Florida. You know, I don't need the 20 hours of driving with the kids, but I'll figure it out.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Domingo Herman has pitched a perfect game! For the fourth time in the history of the New York Yankees, perfection attained. Herman being mobbed at home plate by a full Yankee dugout coming out to congratulate the 30-year-old from the Dominican Republic.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 148, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another few minutes before we hand it over to EJ. You know, the one thing that I've been thinking about, and we're going to have more time to talk about this, is rosters are going to get settled here for the Mets and Yankees. I'm still on Beatty for second base. Another hit today. Made a defensive play, diving stop. I just think he's the guy. And for the New York Yankees, to deal with their injuries, I like the idea. I was just thinking about this. The old and the new, replacing the injuries. Because if you look at it, you could argue right now the two most impactful roster decisions. Because I could tell you that this guy's important, that guy's important. A lot of those guys were on the team, like Jason Dominguez, right? Jason Dominguez, can he play left? Is he going to hit? Obviously a big part of this, the question mark of the team. But he was, barring just being an absolute disaster, he's going to be the starting left fielder. They don't have another one. They're not going to start Trent Grisham. Like, he's the starting left fielder. The two question marks that are filling in for the injuries of Gerrit Cole, in some ways, or Luis Gil, you pick one, and then Giancarlo Stanton, are the two biggest question marks heading in to the last few weeks about who was going to take those stops. Who's going to take those spots? And it's been youth and experience doing it, where Carlos Carrasco has been unbelievable this spring. I mean, he is now, after yesterday's last night's performance, 5 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 3 walks, 3 Ks, 1 walk. He is, his spring training ERA is 1.69. Now, I have no idea what he's going to give them or how long he's going to give it to them. He's aging, but he is throwing the ball a little bit faster than he has in a couple of years. He says he feels better than he does or that he has had in a couple of years, and is he's able to throw more pitches than he has had in a couple of years. And he's looked really good this spring. And the idea that they were able to pick him up, and now he's in this rotation. There's no question, the way Boone spoke after this game yesterday, he's going to be in the rotation. He's going to be a huge part of this team. And right now it gives them the idea, the a little bit of depth where, you know, they have time for Clark Schmidt to figure it out with his, you know, to build up over time and not rush it. And they have, you know, hopefully a couple of weeks. Because really it's only, I mean, for Luis Gil, let's just say it's half a season, right? You make 30 starts a year, it's 15 starts. If Carrasco is good for 10 starts, you're talking about a handful of starts you're missing Luis Gil. Like, if he's, no, I'm not, and good or bad, like, here's the thing, too. Like, in 15 starts, the Yankees, it's just the nature of baseball. The Yankees are going to win 5 of those games no matter who the starting pitcher is. They're going to lose 5 of those games no matter who the starting pitcher is. Like, so you're talking about 5 to 10 games that are really on the line with the Luis Gil injury. And if Carrasco can be that guy for you for the first half of the year, 10, 15 starts where he is this best version of himself, that is an enormous help before you have to go to Warren, before Luis Gil comes back. You know, that is really impactful for this team. And Brian Cashman, for whatever we say, has an impact on, has a habit of doing these things. And finding these guys, whether it's veteran or no-name guys, who come in and give you enough over some time. It doesn't have to be forever. Carpenter was another guy. Career was over. Found himself with the Yankees and was as good as Aaron Judge for a month. Now, you would have loved to have him stay healthy and go into the postseason in 2020. He didn't. But they desperately needed him to say hang on as they were blowing that damn division. And he stepped in for a month. And if Carrasco's good for 2 months, that's all you need from him. And then the other answer for Stanton is the youth, and that's Ben Rice, who's been killing the baseball. You could argue the two biggest question marks was who's going to replace Luis Gil and who is going to replace Giancarlo Stanton heading into this offseason. And they have found two really good answers so far. At least it looks that way in spring. Obviously, they have to prove it in the regular season. But Carrasco looks great pitching to a 1.36 ERA. And Ben Rice just hit his 5th home run of the spring and is hitting the ball as hard as anyone in the sport. Every day the Yankees are posting it, or someone's posting it, the hardest hit ball of the day. And Ben Rice is in the top 2 or 3 every single day. He has put on 15 pounds of muscle, and he is killing the baseball. And quite honestly, you know Giancarlo is going to miss time anyway, and he has months or weeks where his swing is out of nowhere. You could argue, as much as I still believe in Giancarlo, and as long as he comes back this year, I am not tolerating, you cannot call the show and disparage Giancarlo Stanton. It's over. There is no crap talking about Giancarlo Stanton. That's it. It's off limits on this show. Immediate hang up. Until he misses a full season or doesn't produce in the postseason. That's it. Maybe I'll allow it next year. But you could argue over the course of the regular season, a consistent Ben Rice might be a better option for this lineup long term than even Giancarlo Stanton. Now, come the postseason, he's a proven player. I'd like him back by August, September to get into the rhythm a little bit. But you know he's going to miss time. You know he's going to go through funks. You know he's going to come back from injury and not be very good for a while. If you could get a hot Ben Rice to start the year and find himself, the Yankees might be better off today than they were with Giancarlo Stanton over the course of the regular season. Like, they have really found two positive answers here to replace two major holes in injuries that they lost over the year, over the course of the offseason. I mean, Ben Rice is going to be a huge part of this team, there's no doubt, and Carrasco is going to be a huge part of the first few months of this season, or at least the first month of the season, as long as he's serviceable. And right now, he looks more than serviceable. He looks good. And it's not just, you know, BS spring training results. Watch the games. He looks good. The movement on his pitches have looked really good. The fastball's up to 92, 93, 94 at times. It's a click better than it's been. The movement looks good. Like right now, I think hopefully the Yankees and Matt Blake and the Yankee Pitching Lab. We're not the only, you're not the only one with a lab. We have a lab. There's Bunsen burners and test tubes and fire blankets and glasses. We have it too. Think you're the only one with a lab? X-Acto knives and everything else. Let's get to the calls. Eddie in Rockland. Hello, Eddie.
Don't forget the beakers, too.
The beakers.
Learn the beakers.
Got to have the beaker.
That's right. Right. You're a little low on the member of science class, I guess.
But, you're right. I'm very low on my remembrance of science class because I forgot the beaker.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Get to grab the beaker.
I said test tube, beaker, test tube. Oh, perfect timing. Thank you for the call, Eddie. Always a pleasure. All right, everyone have a great day. Basketball, baby. The madness starts. 12:15, it begins. It ends with me. After all the basketball, St. John's, the late games, after the Westwood One post game right here on The Fan, I'll be with you till 5 o'clock. So come join me, reaction to the St. John's Omaha game right here on The Fan. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Stick with us here on The Fan. Fliegelman, thank you for calling. Thank you for helping out. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Connor Green, who was with me before, thank you. EJ Stewart is up next. I'll catch you guys tomorrow after the basketball. Have a great day. Enjoy the games. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN, New York.
If you love your phone but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.